Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you to join me each and every week so together we can win the battle for business. So, hey, as always, thanks so much for being on board and sharing some of your time with me today. And, of course, you can follow me on the show on Instagram at The Profit Express. Now, today is going to be an exciting show, and I'm going to start it off with some information that you may be aware of, and it may be troubling to a lot of Americans. And that's the fact that Major League Baseball is in trouble. It is an aging game with an aging fan base. The game takes too long, the action is too infrequent, it's too slow, and even worse, our kids, that next generation, are playing the game less and less. The Nielsen ratings for this year are down 12%. They're down 12% compared to the last full season, which was 2019. So MLB has some problems. The sport has some problems. What is Rob Manfred, the commissioner of MLB, going to be doing about it? Well, we don't know. But there is very good news. There is somebody out there today who might have cracked the code, who very well could have the answer to what is ailing Major League Baseball. Yes, that's right. He is Jesse Cole. He's the owner of the Savannah Bananas. That's right, the Savannah Bananas, and they're part of the Coastal Plain League. And he literally is leading a revolution in the experience and in the game of baseball. And he's doing it with sold-out crowds. He's doing it with waiting lists. And what makes it even more amazing is he's doing it with things like no advertising in the park, no fees. He's doing it with an all-inclusive ticket. That's mind-blowing. And like I said, sold-out crowds. And he has fans all around, not just the country, but around the world. So hopefully Rob Manfred is listening. And I'm going to be very interested to bring on board Jesse Cole, again, the owner of the Savannah Bananas, to share what is his secret sauce and how did he create a revolution in America's pastime when they desperately need it the most, and what can we learn from him? So again, it's a pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express. Jesse Cole, how are you today?
Excited to be with you, my friend. We're going to have some fun. You came out strong against MLB there, but I'll be ready. I'll be ready to go from there.
Well, listen, it's... Think what baseball's been around for, what is it, 150 years? It's a game based on tradition, and you're kind of taking the game and the tradition and turning it on its end, basically, right?
That was never the goal. You know, the goal was just putting ourselves in our fans' shoes and watching that what fans were getting frustrated with and trying to do the exact opposite. And I guess we've been a disruptor, but that was never the intention at first.
Right. No, I appreciate that. So, listen, on the Profit Express, entrepreneurs have stories. They go through journeys. And those journeys have a lot of ups and downs, as you know. When you started out, now you became the owner, was it 2015 or 2016 of the Savannah Bananas?
Yeah, we went from zero debt to, my wife and I, to $1.8 million in debt. I think that, yes, vividly, that was 2015. That's correct, yes.
I laugh. I'm sorry. And it was in the first three months, you guys sold two tickets. So, I mean, that's just, wow. So take us from that point of selling two tickets in 3 months to sold out crowds. What was that first journey like with you and your wife getting the Savannah Bananas from complete obscurity to where you guys are today?
I think you actually need to go a little bit further on the failure track first. We sold two tickets in the first 3 months. And then on January 15th, 2016, at 4:45 p.m., we got the call that we had overdrafted our account and we were about to miss payroll. And that was at that point that Emily turned to me and said, we need to sell our house. And so we sold our home, emptied our savings account, put the little dollars that we had left into the team, and we're sleeping on an airbed down in Savannah. And so that was just 5.5 years ago. So that was the first step after selling two tickets. Then we were fortunate to create some attention to think differently. We named the team after a fruit. We came up with the Banana Nanas, a senior citizen dance team. We came up with the Mananas, a male cheerleading team. We came up with a mascot named Split. We made every ticket all inclusive. We were just throwing things out, trying to see what could create some attention and try to first get the eyes and the ears of our fans before we could get the hearts. And yeah, since that point, they came out that first night and they watched the dancing players, the breakdancing coach, the banana baby before the game, the pep band, and the experience. And now, yes, every single game is sold out and the wait list is over 10,000, which is just unbelievable.
So what's interesting in some of the other interviews I've seen with you and the stories and such, you don't focus on the baseball. You focused on the fan first. And it's all about the experience. And something else that I found very interesting, you're a big fan and you've done a lot of reading on P.T. Barnum and on Disney. So how did you marry the two of an influence and a thought leader like a P.T. Barnum with the fan first to create what you've now created?
Well, you know, you brought the story about 10 years forward when my wife and I bought the expansion team to come to Savannah, Georgia. But, you know, first I started as a GM at 23 years old of a small team in Gastonia, North Carolina. And as I joke, the only way you get a job as a GM at 23, it has to be one of the worst teams in the country. And it was. So it was then that I took over that poor performing team with only $268 in the bank account, only 200 fans coming to the games.
Right.
That I didn't know what to do. So I read every book on P.T. Barnum, Walt Disney, marketing, sales, customer experience I could. And I said, wow, this is eye-opening for me. No one wants to come to our baseball games because we're not the highest level of baseball. They say it's long, slow, and boring. So I proposed to the owner of the time back then. I said, we can't be in the baseball business. We're in the entertainment business. And so we questioned what business we're in. We said, we need to be 100% in our entertainment business. Maybe that's the game we can win because we're not going to be the best baseball team. And so, yeah, for 10 years in Gastonia, this overnight success that people see as the Savannah Bananas, 10 years in Gastonia, we tried and failed with things like Flatulence Fun Night and Salute Underwear Night and Grandma Beauty Pageants and even a Dig to China Night where we buried a trip to China in the infield dirt and had hundreds of fans go on the field and dig. And when a woman found it, she realized it was just a one-way flight to China, no flight back and no accommodations. So we certainly had a lot of fun and we learned that people wanted to come and escape and have fun. And at that point, we started putting ourselves in our fans' shoes. And now today, every single game at our stadium, one person on our staff will go undercover as the fan, undercover fan. We park with the fans. We walk in with the fans. We sit with the fans. We eat with the fans. And at the end of the night, 11:30, midnight, after the game, we present to the entire staff what were the friction points, what were the frustration points, and what can we do to get better. So it's always been this mindset of entertainment and fans first. And luckily, after 15 years of trial and error, it's starting to work pretty well.
So after each game, or I'm going to say at each game, you have a staff member in as a, you know, posing as a fan to try and get the vibe and the feel of the experience. And then you're kind of doing a recap. You're doing this after each game? Of what went right, what went wrong?
Oh, yeah. I took 12 pages of notes when I went undercover this past season. Yeah, and I think that's not many people. Everyone says, you know, how do we drive revenue? How do we drive profit? How do we drive sales? But not many people talk about how do we drive fans? How do we create more fans? And then if you want to create more fans, you have to actually go where they are. You have to park with them. You have to sit with them. You have to eat with them. You have to talk to them. I struggle now talking to them because they recognize my voice. So I can't go as incognito as I used to be able to. But you learn a lot. And this is what Walt Disney did. Walt Disney did this every single day at the park. He said, whenever I go on a ride, I always ask what's wrong with this thing and how can it be improved? He was going on rides. He was going incognito. He was sitting and walking with the fans. He goes, let's not meet in offices. Let's get out in the park. And that's what he challenged his team to do every day at Disneyland. And I believe in it so much. And that's really where you learn.
Wow. So then you have... I know you focus on fans first, and the questions that you're asking, you're not asking the questions that the typical business owner asks. Like you said, you know, how do we drive revenues, additional revenue streams, so on and so forth. And if you think about it, well, you know, when you first started out, like you said, you weren't selling tickets. You know, you did the ultimate entrepreneurial deep dive. You and your wife emptied out the account. Sold the house. There's not much more commitment than that. So you do that, but then whose idea, I don't know if it was yours or, you know, maybe somebody of your staff, and then I'd like to get the response that people gave you. When you thought of, now, in the research I did, I don't know if your ticket price is still $18, but it's an all-inclusive ticket still to this day.
Yeah. Oh, you can't experience a Savannah Bananas game in Savannah without having all your burgers, hot dogs, chicken sandwiches, soda, water, popcorn, and dessert covered, not just for a little bit, but for the entire night until the game's over.
Wait, so all right, I'm just, now, this is the Profit Express, is Tim Healy, I'm thinking I'm a business owner. So is there like a one hot dog, one beer limit, or can you keep going and hitting that line?
You can go as much as you want. We encourage our fans to take advantage of us. If you can create an experience where your customers or fans feel like they're taking advantage of you, you have an amazing experience that they're going to tell everyone about. Now, I will say this, Tim. You talk about profit. Everyone's, how do you do it? How do you do it? We had no idea. We announced it and we said, all right, if we're in a fan shoes, what do we hate? We hate pulling money out of our pocket for a soda, for a burger, for parking, you name it. We keep doing it. We hate it. And we hate ticket fees and convenience fees. And literally, we turned away Ticketmaster, Ticket Return, all the biggest ticket companies because they said they were going to charge a $1 fee for every ticket. It was going to cost us $100,000. Or they said, oh, just put it on your fans. I go, that's not fans first. So we ended up developing our own tickets, printing our own tickets on banana stock. And actually, it was the part of the whole experience. Now, when you go to the all-you-can-eat, we didn't know how it worked. We had no pricing comparisons. We knew nothing. We only said, what price would be fair? And so, yeah, the first 3 years, we did $15. Then we went up to $18. And then after the next 3 years, we went up to an even 20. And so our final year, we're at 20. But the reality, that's because just, again, the price value is outrageous. But we didn't know what it would cost us. We had no idea. And we found out now, and it's not that bad. How many people can eat as many burgers and hot dogs as they think they can in 90-degree heat in Savannah? And the reality is, everyone does surveys, Tim. You know this. I mean, surveys, sure. Questionnaires. I don't believe in them at all. And I'm probably upsetting a lot of people here. You know what our surveys are? We watch our fans. So give you an example. Every night at our ballpark at 5:36, 6:37, 7:38, we take pictures and videotapes of our entire stadium. And we watch where people are sitting. We watch when they leave. We keep track of when people leave. No one would have said, I want a 2-hour game. No one would have said, oh, I just want everything all inclusive. No one thinks like that. But it's once you start doing things, that's when you really learn. And so we learn what people eat, and it's not that much. And we learn that people leave games early, even no matter how much entertainment we have. It's around the 2-hour mark. So that leads us to make decisions by watching our fans, by sitting with our fans, by being with our fans, not doing a survey, which 5% or 10% will fill out, and they think they're answering the way they want to when they don't might actually always act that way.
Whole other side, but... No, it's what I'm hearing and what makes this conversation so refreshing again today, the Profit Express, today's guest, Jesse Coley, is the owner of the Savannah Bananas, which, I mean, worldwide fans, I mean, kudos to you guys. And you guys are very much in the trenches. You're very much rolling up the sleeves. You're not relying on, you know, traditional marketing or surveys, as you just mentioned. And to me, what makes this so interesting is you had sold out crowds as part of my research, and you brought up, I was going to ask you, but you had sold out crowds. You think, oh, you know, as a business owner, as the owner of the team, wow, we're doing great, sold out crowds. But then because you guys are watching, because you're in the trenches, like, wait, why are they leaving early? And as you just said, 2 hours, that's it, I'm done. So even though they're happy, they're having a great time, 2 hours is the limit. So it's very much, it seems like, what you guys are doing a very good job of, and again, this is what the listeners can get from our chat today, Jesse, is it seems like you guys are just very curious about the fan and how they use or how they experience your game, and you take nothing for granted.
We are fanatical about fans, and I mean fanatical. And we look at every single little part of the experience. And we do some things that most people will never do. You know, the reality is there's not a sports team in the country that would be dumb enough to eliminate all their advertising from their stadium. And on February 25th, 2020, 2 weeks before the pandemic, we announced we were creating the first ever ad-free stadium. And we threw away hundreds of thousands of dollars because we believed that no one comes to a ballpark to be marketed to, sold to, or advertised to. And we'd rather work for our fans than work for some corporate sponsors, which often goes against what our fans want. Now, that was crazy. It was crazy.
And I'll tell you, I have a three. This is February 2020, you made that decision.
Correct.
Okay.
And we have a, and to give you an example, I have my three-year-old son. And if he watches something on YouTube, he goes, "Daddy, I don't like ads." And he wants to skip ads.
Sure.
If I see my three-year-old and other people, there's no one that wakes up and gets excited about that. So people say, "Oh, well, it really doesn't bother you at the game." Well, do you want to look at a program and have ads? Do you want to get announcements and have ads? Do you want to look at a 1926 historic ballpark and have ads? So we actually took all the ads out of the stadium and put a fan wall. And so now our fans sign the wall every night. So our fans are on the actual wall of the 1926 ballpark instead of this corporate sponsor. Now, what has happened? Our merchandise in the last 2 years has more than tripled. It's become a multi-million dollar brand with just merchandise alone. And so we're doing three times the merch we did in just advertising revenue. And so I believe that if you do things for your fans will reward you and take care of you. Did we know at first? No. You just start doing and you start learning. When we did All You Can Eat, the first night it took 3 hours to get food. We ran out of food after 30 minutes. We didn't know where they're going to go through 10,000 pieces of meat. We had no idea.
Right,
most people
right.
would quit. But we believed in the bigger vision that this would be a better experience if we could figure it out. So the next night we put the drinks first. So people can only put so many drinks in their hands. They can grab burgers. They can't grab a ton of burgers. We made subtle changes on how people got their food and drinks, and it made it a better experience. And now people can get fed in our ballpark under 5 minutes, no matter what, at any time.
Oh, wow. Wow. This is brilliant. So now let's talk about the actual, because in my intro, I talked about, just the game of baseball. It's too slow, not enough action. You know, the young kids aren't playing it nearly as much as they used to. And like you said, these games that, you know, they keep getting longer and longer. You know, batters are stepping out of the box. They're adjusting this, they're adjusting that. It's just, it's painful. So talk to us for a little bit here. I think it's really fascinating how you took on the rules of the game and the pace of the game. What's been your take on that, and how have you looked to change that?
So again, if you look at every year, we're looking at something else to take away from friction points or frustration points from the game and from the experience. And
right.
So whether it was eliminating all of our shipping fees, eliminating, you know, all you can eat, the advertising, et cetera, but we just kept watching as fans were leaving early. They were leaving early. They were leaving early. So 2.5 years ago, not many fans know this, but we started testing a faster game. And we looked at all the parts of baseball. What are the parts that are boring that people don't like? And what are the most exciting parts? They're like walks. People don't like that. Bunts. They're pretty boring. They don't like that. Walk-offs, you know, a walk-off win in the ninth inning. People love that. And we started looking at all the cool things that people love about baseball and said, could we create a game that way? And we tested it at college and we came up with the idea of this game. We had no name for it. After we tested a few times, fans started calling it Banana Ball, which I kind of like. And so we tested a game, 2-hour time limit. We said, what if every inning counted? So what if whoever scores the most runs in an inning gets a point? So theoretically, you can have a walk-off situation in the first inning, the second inning, the third inning. You can have walk-off celebrations. What if we eliminated bunts? What if we had no walks? What if you could steal first? What if a fan could catch a foul ball and it's an out? And we tested all those
fan,
rules.
A fan catching a foul ball and it counts as an out.
Yes, and it happened unbelievably. And unfortunately, the bananas were rallying. They had guys on first and second in the fifth inning. And two outs, and our catcher fouled a ball, almost a line drive into the stands. And a guy was trying to protect himself and he caught the ball. And immediately the whole stadium started booing him. And it was like, get out of here. We're bringing security guards over him to actually escort him out of the stadium as a joke. But yeah, it happened.
Wow.
And it was unbelievable. But think about that. I always had a dream and vision what the most amazing perfect scenario was. And I picture a ninth inning, bananas up by one run, two outs. And the bananas are pitching, and the visiting team has bases loaded, and a foul ball, and a fan catches it to win the game, and the media is interviewing them after the game for the catch to win the game. Imagine that from a fan. How do you make your fans the hero? And so we developed this whole game, Banana Ball, based on making it where fans don't want to leave their seat. In baseball, you watch a Major League Baseball game, everyone's on their phone, or they're not there at the game, or they're talking to their friends. How do you it where they don't. And people say, well, that hurts concessions. I don't care if it hurts concessions. I want people to watch and enjoy something. You create a great show, a great concert that people want to watch. You leave baseball games in the middle of the game constantly. No one leaves a great concert, a great movie, and says, oh, that was an amazing concert, an amazing movie. I'm going to leave halfway through. But that happens in baseball all the time. I want to create an experience where people don't ever want to leave their seat. It's so good.
It's amazing, as you know. Now, my son, who's 12, he is a big baseball fan. He's a Yankees fan up here in New York. He loves playing. He's actually on a travel team. And as you're describing the experience, and listen, I just found out about you and I came across you on your it was an SC story that you guys were featured, and I fell in love with what you guys are doing. And one of the games that a Yankee game that I took my son to, it was a great experience. It was one of those great father-son moments, right? But by the time we got good tickets and we were all in, and it was just me and my son, right, Jesse? Me and my son. Up in Yankee Stadium, it was just about $1,000 by the time all is said and done. So needless to say, you know, myself nor a lot of other people can't do that a whole lot of times. And yes, was it a great experience? Yes, we did have a great time. I'm not going to say we didn't. But how do you really have an experience for fans when you got to pay those kind of dollars? And that's just pervasive across just about all sports. You know, I had a similar experience with the Jets game here in New York. It just is what it is. So as you're telling this story, I'm feeling, as a fan of various sports myself, of baseball and of football, that it is so fan-centric that, I mean, do you ever think, and I'm making a bit of a left-hand turn here, Jesse, but do you ever think that the real professional organizations, the MLBs, for example, could learn from you? Or is it just so consumed by and driven by? I mean, look, the contracts, we get it. You know, they're different worlds. But, I mean, is there hope for an MLB, for example? What do you think?
Yeah, there's always hope. And to be open, that's not a question that I ask myself. Do people think they can learn from us? I am, as I said, fanatical about the fans, fanatical about our people. And fanatical about the experience. And, you know, I believe if we take care of our people take care of our fans, and our fans take care of our business. So, right. There will be a lot of roadblocks and red tape for doing the things that we do. And the reason is because it starts from a complete and utter buy-in and permission for everyone on our team to have fun. Myself as the owner in a ridiculous yellow tux looking like a clown, you know, I am out in the crowd. I throw out our Dolce and Banana underwear to our fans in the middle of the game. You know, I'm in the crowd doing that. And our players deliver roses to little girls in the crowd every game. Our players are on the dugouts in the ninth inning, like ring girls. We call them the ring dudes. They're holding the ninth inning a ring dude.
Right.
They're ripping their shirt off, and it gets way over the top. Our players do choreographed dances every single game. Our players are a part of the show. Literally before every game at 3:45, we meet with our team and say, guys, what should our scoring celebrations be today? And they come up with things like, literally now every single game, when we score our first run, the entire team runs through the grandstand, high-fiving every single fan. And if you look at our dugout's empty because our team is celebrating because we scored our first run. It's ridiculous. It's over the top, but it's fun. And that's what our guideline is. Our guideline isn't to be the best baseball team in the world. Our guideline is to be the most fun baseball team in the world, to make baseball fun. And if we do that, we win. And unfortunately, in Major League Baseball, the guidepost is win, 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 and win at all costs.
Right.
And when that's the focus, it takes away from all those other things. It takes away from the fan experience. It's all about developing players at the minor leagues, at the pro level. Develop. It's all an investment in players. It's not an investment in the fans. It's not an investment in the fan experience. And we will never go that route. Now, do we invest in our players probably more than any college summer team or many minor league teams in the country? You better believe, because we believe our players could be our biggest fans. So we invest in them as well. But we invest in them on their experience. We don't necessarily invest in them in over-the-top, unbelievable baseball tools. It's investing in their experience.
So the story, the journey that you and your wife have taken to get where you are is one of the classic American, you know, success stories. and, you know, lots of trials and tribulations, as you know. Now, let me ask you, so now you started as 2015, now here we are 2021. If you had a do-over as the owner, what would it be?
I struggle with those questions. And because the reality is it's almost do-overs or what are your failures? And I'm going to say it this way. We, quote unquote, fail every game. We do new promotions every night we've never done in front of a live crowd. And most of them are disastrous, like delay the game, chaos, what's happening. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, if the staff jokes me on the horsehead race that we did 2 years ago, I still live in infamy for that one. But every night we do that. And every night things go wrong. I mean, our first shipment of T-shirts that we ever got in had too many N's in bananas. Bananas was spelled wrong on our first shipment of T-shirts we ever had. We've made countless mistakes. But there's not, I don't think I would ever look at any do-overs. I know that's a good learning moment for people that are listening.
Sure.
But I think the moment that I would take out of it is continue to keep doing, experimenting, and testing. And that's where you learn. Jeff Bezos said, our success is a direct function of how many experiments we do per year, per month, per week, per day. And I challenge our team to continually experiment and keep coming to bat and keep swinging. As my dad told me as a kid, Jesse, swing hard in case you hit it. We swing hard constantly. We swing and miss a lot. But when we make contact, we make pretty good contact. So I would challenge more not to look at what would I do over, but I think what I would do is continue to do more experiments, to test more things, to be open to be misunderstood, to be open to be criticized. Because when you do those things, that's when you really make an impact. Incremental changes, or incremental results. Normal gets normal results. So that's why we always say, whatever's normal, do the exact opposite. And I think I want to continue to push us and our team to do more of that.
Do you have a lot of, because they're out there, the baseball purists, I should say, excuse me. Do they attack you? Do they criticize you?
1,000%. Yeah, of course they do. And I don't blame them. I would too. I mean, you know, you're making a mockery of the game. It's supposed to be, you know, a 2-hour time and no bunting. Bunting's a huge part of the game. How could you eliminate bunting? And,
right.
And I get it. But here's what I'll say to that. We're not for you. We're not for you. I think the greatest marketing you can do is you can ask the question, not who are you for, but who are you not for? And I'm very clear. We are not for baseball traditionalists. Every year we will lose baseball traditionalists. But do I believe we're going to gain more younger fans, more people that want to come and have fun? 1,000%. And that's
right,
who
right.
we're targeting.
It was amazing. It was on one of the videos on YouTube that I saw. You guys had interviewed some fans after a game. Everybody's hyped up. This guy had on the Savannah Bananas underwear. He had some tighty whities over his pants. And he's like, he was saying, I'm not even a baseball fan until I met the Savannah Bananas. He's like, you know, now I just love the experiences. And he says, now I like baseball as a result of it.
That's, I guess that is part of our goal. You know, if you can create some baseball fans by starting them having fun, I think that's a win for the sport and hopefully a win for MLB and everyone else.
Amazing. And I saw on one of your other podcasts, I did a little research and I saw they were even asking you, I think they want you to tackle them. You're going to be a very popular guy for disgruntled fans. I forget what podcast it was on. I mean, maybe something in Bubba, Rick and Bubba. I don't know. I forget.
Yeah, I remember those guys, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good show. And they said, hey, can you help golf? Because if any game needs, you know, some fixes and faster and more action, it would be golf. But it's really amazing. Now, you are in business with your wife, correct? She's a part of the team. Explain to me. Right. Yeah. I don't want to minimize her involvement. I apologize. What is it like? Because listen, here you are, you're doing an interview. You're in a yellow tux. You're out there in the games. You're in the yellow tux. You know, you're really a part of the fan experience on, you know, a game by game basis as the owner, as the CEO. And now you're involved with your wife. How is it being in business with your wife? What does your wife bring to the relationship that you don't have?
Everything. I'm a very simple person. I'm like a P.T. Barnum-esque promoter that likes to have fun and put on a show. Emily is the heart of our organization. She's the heart of our organization. From day one, she's been the heart of our organization. And long story short, I was in 2008, I was hosting a conference and talking about our Salute to Underwear Nights and Flatulence Fun Nights. And we invited some teams, and some minor league teams came. And some of the teams at Ripken Baseball that owned Cal Ripken, they owned some minor league teams. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about the Grandma Beauty Pageants. And Emily's boss was there. Emily was working for the Augusta Green Jackets. Emily's boss left the conference and called her and said, "I met the guy you're going to marry." And Emily was like, "What are you talking about?" It's like, he has the same enthusiasm, energy, everything about this industry. You guys are going to get married. It's as simple as that. And we kept in touch, and she joined our team in Gastonia as our director of fun. And she's the type of girl that if you look, you know, in a lot of times in sports industry, you know, there's fewer females as there should be. But Emily was a person that would literally come to our ballpark and put on a hot dog suit and wear the hot dog suit all night. Didn't care about what she looked. She just wanted to have fun. And right. I fell in love with that. And I proposed in my yellow tux to her in a sold out game with our former team. And she said yes in the yellow tux. So I think she knew what she was getting herself into. And so from that point on, we've been a great team. She focuses on our people. You know, 1% of our total top line budget goes to surprise and delights for our people, sending our people on bucket list trips to Ireland with their dad, to the World Series with their dad, literally to private VIP concerts, surprising our team with a trip to the outlets before Christmas and everyone getting $500 to go shopping. She plans all of those events. Wow. And is constantly on our team. And I think that's you talk about the secret sauce. I think it's that emphasis on our team. It is constantly trying to think of them as creating raving fans. And that's really what Emily really brings our team together by doing that.
Listen, I thank you for your time. If I could have one more question. It sounds like the two of you are a great partnership, by the way, which is not an easy thing to accomplish, especially, you know, husband and wife. But one thing I really want you to share, because I really admire and respect what you guys have done, and not a lot of businesses get it right, in my opinion. The power of culture. If you can give a quick, you guys had, it was a Georgia Southern University, and that really caught my attention. They did a survey, an analysis of data as to how the culture impacted the performance of the players. Can you give us a minute on that? I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, long story short, I'm a promoter, so I'm fortunate to get the opportunity to speak all over the country. And this was back in the day when I was just speaking locally at the Georgia Southern University. And I was sharing, I go, you know, our players play better and because of the culture, because of the fun, because of the atmosphere. And we just win more games than everyone else. And I didn't realize at the time, but the professor wrote that down. And over the next 2 months, without telling me, he looked at the statistics of all the players in the league. And he tried to back that up to see if that could be backed up. He was basically trying to prove me wrong.
Right.
And he reached out to me on email and said, "Hey, I found this data, and I think it's going to surprise you a little bit." And I was like, "Oh, shoot, is it not right?"
And he
looked up and your players dramatic. There's only one team in the league that showed a correlation, playing with metal bats during school and then going to wood bats. But your team actually hit better on base percentage, you know, K to walk ratio, showed me all these stats. He goes, "There was one team that showed a correlation." And then he studied it again the next year and same thing, studied it again the next year. And he said, "It is with empirical evidence, it proves that by putting on a Bananas uniform and being part of the Bananas culture, you will perform better." And to me, that says it all.
Jesse, I want to thank you. It's been a great conversation. Jesse Cole, the owner of the Savannah Bananas. People want to follow you. They want to follow the Bananas. How do they do it?
Savannah Bananas, we're easy to follow. TikTok, we're going all in on that. We've got almost 900,000 followers. We have fun there. And then for myself, you search Yellow Tux, you'll find me, but I spend most of my time on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Jesse, again, thanks so much for sharing the story of the Savannah Bananas.
Thank you, Tim.
And this has been the Profit Express, where each and every week we are looking to win the battle for business. Follow me in the show on Instagram at The Profit Express, on Twitter at Profit_Express, where each and every Wednesday we drop new episodes, just like the one I had with Jesse Cole, the owner of the Savannah Bananas. And of course, big thanks to the supporters of the show, like our good friends at Corbett Public Relations, where they've been promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. Check them out at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. Until next week, continue to win the battle for business.